From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In the wake of pop star Lorde's decision to not perform in Israel, a victory for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, Israel has now launched its own boycott list. The state, notorious for establishing apartheid-like conditions for Palestinians, released a list of 20 organizations whose members will be barred from traveling there. But Israel's reputation continues to unravel, especially with the arrest and incarceration of a 16-year-old Palestinian girl named Ahed Al-Tamimi, who hails from a prominent, politically active family. Tamimi's case garnered international attention and activism. Meanwhile, the Israeli government is now considering a law legalizing the death penalty, a bill clearly aimed at Palestinian political prisoners. My guest is Arielle Gold. She is the national co-director of Code Pink, which is one of the 20 organizations barred by Israel. She manages the group's campaigns for Palestinian rights. Welcome to the program, Arielle.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
So I suppose it was only a matter of time before Israel responded to BDS with its own ban. Do you see this first as a clear and direct response to BDS? Is that what Israel says? And what does it actually mean? Does it mean that you, for example, couldn't travel to Israel?
Well, I see this as a clear and direct response to all of the successes that we are having in the struggle for Palestinian rights, and BDS is an incredibly important aspect of that struggle and of the successes that we are having. But the picture is actually a bit larger than that. We could also look at how the Palestinian narrative and what's happening to Palestinians and has been happening since 1948 is now getting a very different media coverage, and the media is really lifting up Palestinian stories much more. And the movement for Palestinian rights, it has been growing exponentially. So this new ban is, it's also part of a larger move of repression that Israel has been undertaking very recently and over the past few years. But just looking alone at what's been happening since Trump's declaration of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, on the ground, we are seeing massive crackdowns. You mentioned the arrest of Ahed Tamimi, which is horrifying, and she's facing possibly a decade or more in prison. It was actually four members of her family, four women from her village of Nabi Saleh, that were arrested. We've also seen about 2 weeks ago the arrest of peaceful activist Munther Amira from Bethlehem, and Israel is continuing to hold him without release. This is at the backdrop of the ongoing military court trial of Isa Amro from Hebron on 18 charges. So all around, one of the things that I see is that Israel is becoming more and more desperate to protect their apartheid system and to refuse change while the rest of the world is saying that this ongoing system of racism is unacceptable.
How important is the symbolism of Ahed Tamimi? She was caught on video, basically, you know, hitting, punching, kicking at a very well-armed Israeli soldier. Our TV audience can see that video as we're playing. He, of course, is completely protected by his gear and lethal weaponry, and she is a petite young woman who looks extremely angry. But the video doesn't, of course, show the context under which she lives. She's someone referred to as the sort of new millennial resistance, symbol of Palestinian resistance.
Well, right before that attack that you just showed the video of where Ahed is, and I say attack, that Ahed's home was attacked by soldiers. But right before that video where she's slapping the soldier, her 15-year-old cousin, Mohammed, had just been shot in the face with a rubber-coated steel bullet, and he had to be taken to the hospital for surgery and placed in a medically induced coma. Thankfully, he has survived, But that's what immediately preceded the soldiers coming onto Ahed's family's property and attempting to enter her home, and then she slapped the soldier. Ahed, part of this idea of being a symbol of the millennial resistance is that Ahed represents this new generation of resistance, which is not afraid of soldiers. You know, essentially this family would rather be imprisoned than continue to live and bring another generation into the imprisonment of the occupation. And
essentially they're a generation that has nothing left to lose.
Well, or you could say they're a generation that has hope that their resistance will be successful and that they are empowered both through their own skill set and abilities, but and also through an international movement that is backing them and lifting up their stories to say, we are going to bring this occupation to an end. And that's really terrifying for the Israeli military. You know, after Ahed's arrest, the things that were said by Israeli leaders are really hard to comprehend. We had an Israeli journalist, a prominent Israeli journalist, who called for Ahed openly, pretty openly, to be raped. It was a very thinly veiled call. Naftali Bennett, the education minister in Israel, said that she should be imprisoned for the rest of her life. And the conversation that was happening in the Israeli public was around saying that she had emasculated these soldiers. You know, how dare she raise an arm to the soldiers? And I would say, how dare these soldiers enter her property and continue to allow the theft of her land, the theft of their water springs, and so on. So it's really something that's turned up on its head in terms of who is the criminal here and who is the victim.
So this, what has happened to this young girl and the sort of symbol that she's become is exactly what the BDS movement has been trying to organize around, right? The BDS movement, which many have argued is really a Palestinian-led movement, but has enabled the diaspora, but just international activists around the world to find a way to contribute to the Palestinian struggle for freedom, has urged a boycott of Israel, divestment from Israel, and sanctions against Israel. How important was the decision by the international pop star Lord to respect the call for musicians to not travel to Israel, to be part of that cultural boycott?
Lord's decision to cancel her show in Israel was a major victory for the BDS movement and the movement for Palestinian rights. I mean, it was something that occurred really organically and grassroots. It was two young women from New Zealand, one Jewish and one Palestinian.
Which is where Lord is from, yeah.
Which is where Lord is from, who reached out to her and penned an open letter. And then, you know, it became its own, it gathered its own momentum on social media, asking Lord to look at, is this a place she wants to support it? And she responded that she would look at it. And, you know, again, just as Israel has been so furious at Tamimi, they are infuriated at Lord's very ethical and moral decision. And she, a full page ad was taken out in the Washington Post calling her a bigot. This is the most ridiculous thing. Actions of ethics are something that should be applauded.
She basically has become a polarizing figure between Israel and Palestinian pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian movements, which of course can be very difficult for a musician to deal with. And I wonder sort of how people who are approached, you know, next by BDS organizers to boycott will respond, or maybe they might quietly find other reasons to not perform in Israel. Regardless, let's talk about the response by Israel. And we covered on our show the incredible backlash to BDS here in the United States on college campuses, by city governments, and even members of Congress, because somehow boycotting Israel is seen as a racist move, even when the very idea of a boycott is very sort of part of our First Amendment, right? So what do you make of the list by Israel, the list of banned organizations? What does it mean practically for you? You, I understand, will no longer be able to travel to Israel?
Well, I'm somebody that previously has traveled to Palestine once or twice a year. And the reason that I've done that has been to work on the ground hand in hand with the Palestinian activists and families who are struggling there and to build relationships. And so,
and to get there, you have to travel through Tel Aviv?
I do have to travel through either way to get in, whether you come in through the Jordanian border or through Tel Aviv. It's Israel that controls the entry point. So there's no way to enter Palestine without permission from the Israeli government. So it seems with the release of this blacklist that I will no longer be able to travel there. You know, I'm really appalled, but at the same time, I'm not at all surprised. This is an incredibly racist, repressive regime that claims to be the only democracy in the Middle East, but by no means respects people's rights. It's an entirely apartheid state that controls a population and gives them no rights to decision-making power over their own lives. Even for Palestinian citizens of Israel, there are 50 laws of discrimination between Jews and non-Jews. So this wasn't something that surprised me. Recently, Israel had also just approved $72 million to combat BDS. But at the same time, I see this as Israel isolating itself even further. And by doing that, it reveals itself more and more to the outside world for the apartheid state that it is.
The list was essentially drawn up by Gilad Erdan, the Minister of Strategic Affairs, who said that we have shifted from defense to offense. The boycott organizations need to know that Israel will act against them and not allow them to enter its territory. And among the organizations, including yours, of course, Code Pink, is Jewish Voice for Peace, American Friends Service Committee, which is a Quaker organization, and a number of other organizations, not all of them American, in fact, many of them international. So they include some American organizations and a number of international ones, too. Can this, you know, where do you think this will lead? I mean, if the BDS movement gets bigger, is Israel simply going to expand its list? How does that benefit Israel to bar people from coming to Israel? That list may get too big to make it worthwhile.
I think it benefits our movement much more than it benefits Israel. As I said, Israel is revealing itself even more for the repressive apartheid state that it is. And what we expect from this list is a major boon for people joining these blacklisted organizations and joining the movement and joining the struggle. And so while Israel is seeking to divide, you know, by not allowing many of us to go and visit our Palestinian friends, this is also an opportunity to expand the movement. And again, in terms of this not being a surprise, this is nothing new. Since 1948, Israel has been refusing entry and refusing the right to return to Palestinian refugees. And I myself am a Jewish American, and so I have always enjoyed an enormous amount of privilege at being able to enter the country. However, my Palestinian American or Muslim counterparts have never enjoyed that privilege, never arrive at the Tel Aviv airport feeling assured that they will be allowed to enter this country. Israel has for many years denied entry to Muslims and Palestinians around the world, even to visit their own families in Palestine.
Well, Ariel, give out a website for Code Pink.
Sure. You can find us at codepink.org. And we encourage you to sign our petition for Ahed Tamimi, which is codepink.org. /free Ahed.
And we'll post a link to both those sites, as well as your article in Forward.com that you just published called Israel Made Itself a Pariah by Barring Me and My Fellow Activists. Ariel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Arielle Gold is the National Co-Director of Code Pink. She manages the organization's campaigns for Palestinian rights. We've been discussing some of the latest news coming out of Israel and the Palestinian territories. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.